We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Bart Winkler Show, June 21, 2023, on what is officially the first day of summer. And I will like to say that it's always pissed me off that summer doesn't start until June 21. Yeah. I'm going to shit on the solstices. Well, because school ends, or you have Memorial Day. It's been summer. But now it's officially summer. Same with winter. Winter is not until the 21st. Like, it's been winter. Oh, now it's winter. I understand I'm going anti-solstice, which is stupid. But I feel like summer, by the time we say it's the first day of summer, summer's already halfway over. It's dumb. Coming up on the show today, we are going to talk with Paul Emig and Grant Bills. I am excited to bring you some riveting conversation between us three boys. Questions like, are you disappointed that Bradley Beal did not become a Buck? A spirited question on if Christian Yelich is an all-star, one of us say no. The other two, categorically wrong. Also, some good discussion about why would you go to the bottom of the ocean in a tin can? That's all coming up here on the show. Speaking of tin cans, I'm going to play a Carl's Place voicemail, and I'm going to do it differently. Carl's Place, of course, carlofet.com/Bart. They have golf simulators that you can customize and build your own. Toby Altizer is in the great state of Wisconsin. We'll be producing some content. And then I'll talk with Toby at a later date about some of the stuff going on in Washington. Maybe later this week, maybe next week. I don't know. We'll find out. But Toby will grace his presence with us again soon. He's in Wisconsin for a couple weeks. Got to the Brewer game. Got to watch Corbin Burns get shelled. This podcast will not have any breakdown of the Tuesday night Brewer game. I apologize. We will all live and learn. And we'll get through it together. But carlofet.com/Bart. Again, carlofet.com/Bart is where you can check that out. I'm going to play a voicemail from John and Franklin. And I'm going to do it a different way because typically the voicemails, and I forget whoever helped me set this up, and I should do a better job of remembering, but someone said, I said, I want to play like calls on my show. And so we figured out that the YouTube, that's a good way to get people interacting live. But even if you can't make that, I wanted some sort of voicemail line. And someone tipped me onto Google Voice. A couple of you did. And I think it's been great. The fact that some you can call and I get to these voicemails. I really like that. 402-915-BART, 402-915-2278. I made sure to do a BART. I thought that I prioritize that instead of like a 414 number, which maybe was a mistake, but either way, it should be in your phone. I have it on my Twitter bio, I believe. And I play the voicemail then through my phone speaker. I put it up to my microphone. And there's been some complaints about the audio quality of that. So what I'll do is it goes to a website. I'm going to edit this together, and instead of holding it up the old way, I'm going to put it in the show as an MP3 file. And what you'll notice in sound quality is no difference, because it's a fucking voicemail. Voicemails sound like voicemails. The sound quality of the voicemail is not good. Have you heard a voicemail? You guys are like in the treehouse with your neighbor talking through tin cans and a string, expecting to be on 5G coverage. It's a voicemail. It is a voicemail. That being said, I've got John and Franklin's voicemail. John, by the way, John, I love hearing from you. You really, I can't stress it enough. You've got 2.5 months. Come Packer season, I'm going to need to see John and Franklin pop up on my StreamYard and get in on some of these post games. That's what I'm going to need. So, John, you got 2.5 months to figure out how to get that link on your phone. I'll come over and help you. Be good to see you again. So now I'm going to play the file. We'll hear John and Franklin's call. And then attached to that, I'll play the Imig and Grant. And there'll be like no follow-up. Just because I could follow it up. That's why I like to play the voicemail through my phone. I can interact with it, pause it. But we're going to try this. We're going to try this because the audience wants it, so the audience will get it. And then instead of like commenting after John and Franklin's call, John and voicemail's call, I'm just going to go right into the other thing. So, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. Paul and Grant are coming up. But first, this voicemail from John and Franklin.
Hey, good morning, John and Franklin, with my Better Late Than Never podcast response. We're talking Little Brewers Tuesday morning. You know, I'm hearing a little conjecture. Are we going to be buyers and sellers? And questions about the Brewer fans being apathetic this year. And I'm hearing people getting on Corbin Burns. Yeah, let's all get on Corbin Burns, our best pitcher. Yeah, that's a good plan. Like, he isn't pissed off enough with our idiot owner, okay? You know, the one that decided to trade away our first or second best asset to a team we were competing with for one of the final playoff spots while we were in first place. I turned on the game on Father's Day in between flipping my steaks on the grill, and I enjoyed the comeback. And this is what the Brewers are to me now. They're a team that I will always follow them, but I have no confidence in the ownership of this team. And I will blame it all on the owner, because he's the only one left that would have masterminded this. And maybe that's why our other general manager left, because he thought getting rid of Hader was moronic. What do you think that did to the clubhouse? If you think me as a casual fan is this pissed off about it, how would you have liked to have been in that clubhouse? Now, I know we got some young kids up this year that don't give a crap about any of this. They got a future to try to make for themselves, and I respect that. But I got no confidence in this owner. And I don't blame Corbin Burns. And if in the back of his mind, you know, he's given 98% instead of 100, you're going to blame him? Bradley Beal trade? Yeah. You know, I was kind of interested when the Bucks said, you know, word was, you know, the Bucks were interested. I didn't think it was going to happen. And he's got some great tape. But at the end of the day, is he a winner? Is he going to take us to the finish line? And is he going to take the Suns to the finish line? I don't think so. The Suns were defeated by Jokic and the Bigs, much like the Miami Heat. And no matter how good you are from the outside, if you can't defend the inside against Bigs, you got a problem. So whatever moves the Bucks make, I hope they involve still being strong with our interior defense. I'm out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIP.
Paul Emig and Grant Bills, this is our weekly mm-hmm. So Paul asks a question, and then we say mm-hmm and mm-mm. And then, inevitably, Eric Spolstra's name comes up, and Paul fawns for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think that was...
the coach he is.
I think it was that... Grant, was that Cone's tweet last week that had the gif of... how I feel after Spolstra's name comes out with the transformer.
Yeah, that was funny. I think we're probably
funny and accurate. Yeah, yeah.
We're probably done with Spolstra, but that's because we're out of good things to say about him. So naturally, whenever it comes time to criticize him, we just forget he exists. So
yeah, if we could just skip past any of that, that'd be ideal.
We're recording this on Tuesday morning.
Uh-huh.
Just in case there's like some crazy NBA trade that happens. I got stuff going on today.
Well, can I interrupt
on that?
There's an actual NBA breaking trade. Did you see it? Do you guys have your notifications on?
Ain't no way.
I haven't had notifications on since I got my phone.
The Bucks have traded Grayson Allen to the Lakers.
No, you're doing a bit.
For LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Pelinka gets his guy.
This is a good deal for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I would say mm-hmm.
You see, I don't know if I like, you know, because you give up the shooting of Grayson, and all you're getting back is like an older LeBron and an injury-prone AD.
Yeah. Plus, guys, there's only one basketball to go around.
You know, and, you know, usage percentage can only be 100%. Like,
That's
it's
the new one.
Impossible. Yeah.
That's the new Paul. That's the new. There's only one ball. I've heard that on a couple different podcasts the last few days where it's like, well, the usage can only add up to 100. I'm like, oh, so that's the new one.
Saying there's well, as we're talking though, we've got and if anyone that did not happen, but the Bucks could move one of these guys for a pick. That'd probably be more Thursday night. I don't know what's going on. Like, Damian Lillard again is saying, no, keep me here. Everyone's like, Dame, it's cool. You can leave.
It's fine.
It's a very strange breakup.
Like, we're always like, oh, they're always trying to take the guys out of these small markets. But in this, like, Dame, stop.
Just go. It's okay. I mean, it's not
Zion's totally fucking his way out of New Orleans.
Out of the league. Like, I mean, not literally, but like,
is that extortion, by the way? Like, hey, trade my guy or I'm going to release sex tapes. Is that's legally problem? That's not legal, right?
I don't think the Suns Bradley Beal trade should have been legal.
Another good point. Mm-hmm.
It would not have been legal.
The agent is the guy's dad with the Suns.
That's why they had to do it according to NBA bylaws on Father's Day. Otherwise, it would have been.
Oh, they got the Father's Day. It's like the purge.
Yeah. It's the one day a year that you can do that type of deal.
Is that when Joe Barry was hired? Was he hired on on a later, I guess, middle of the summer now is probably before that.
It's the one time of year. By the way, I just want to say, my ridiculous NBA trade was in response to our guy, Matt in the Falls last week. I heard his voicemail on your show, Bart. Mm-hmm. I think there are two things, Matt in the Falls, Bathtub Matt, that I feel confident talking about in sports. And I mean this sincerely. Like, that's why I prefer to propose the questions, because I defer to my experts over here. But there are two things I feel really good about in sports. NBA cap off-season trade type things. I'm really good at that. So fuck you.
Wow.
CBA Paul.
No, but in all sincerity, like, I defer on a lot of things. I know NBA offseason, and then I know baseball stats, nerd stats. Those are my two things. Everything else, fair criticism. I've also found out recently I am an Eric Spoelstra expert. But
I wouldn't say expert's the word.
yeah, for sure. No, but Matt's like, I like most of your content, but your trades are bad. None of those trades I've ever done on the show until Grayson for AD and LeBron. I've never made any of those up. Those have been online banter that I'm bringing forth. So just for the record.
Wisdom of the masses.
I see. Bringing them forth.
Well, just so you guys are up to speed on what's going on in the Winklerverse. It's early. I'm sure you didn't hear yesterday's show.
I listened to about the first 15 and then we had to do this.
Yeah, so not yet, bud.
Did you hear my diagnosis?
No.
I have PF.
Plantar fascia?
Yeah. I have PF. So
no one calls it PF. Don't
someone call it. Did on the stream.
No one calls it that.
Someone said, hey Bart, I've had PF for a long time.
It's like the OC. Don't call it that.
Don't call it that. Yeah.
Because PF, it cripples many Americans, and it's kind of like America's silent nuisance.
When you say the word cripples, though, like, do you mean like actually debilitating? Like, can it like
Ricky Fowler's dad had it, and he's like trying to walk with his kid.
What are you being debilitated from?
Well, walking.
Where?
Funny.
Well,
couch to kitchen to bathroom to couch.
So I'm going to set up a plantar fasciitis 5K. But since none of us can walk, we all have to get a sponsor to walk for us. And then we'll watch you around the track.
So how does one develop plantar fasciitis?
It happens in a lot of different ways. Like Malcolm Brogdon had it.
I remember Mo Williams had it.
Yeah, I got it because I got fat.
It just puts like pressure on what joints or.
And I got it like I recently started because it's nice out again. So I walk my kid to daycare.
Uh-huh.
And just that little walk to and from has put a shock to my feet.
You got to get some Asics. That's what you need. Nice supportive shoe.
So what does Doc say? What is the, like, what do you
Well, doing? I woke up this morning, rubbed the tennis ball all over my foot. And it did help. I will say it's the best it's felt in a while. I'm wearing shoes right now. I'm one of these guys now that walks around my house while wearing shoes.
growing up, my dad, he would never take his shoes off in the house. He would just scrape them on the rug in the living room for an insane amount of time. And then he'd walk around and you would hear, like, when I'd be in the basement, I'd know where he was in the house. Because you could hear him with his work shoes, his dress shoes, or his boots on. You reach a certain age as a dad, you fucking leave them on. You don't take.
Well, you could put on like, you know, heavy slippers or something that's a bit more comfortable.
Yeah. I do have an orthopedic slipper.
There you go.
Or a Tempur-Pedic.
That's a bed.
I think I did a poll at one point, which was like, "Are you?" This was years ago, but like, "Are you a shoes on house or a shoes off house?"
Well, if you're a shoes on house,
and I don't mean for like
murdered someone, like you're a murderer.
See, it was like 30%, if I recall, that was a shoes on house.
Shoes on house? No, house. Yes. You let the dogs fly.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
All right.
What the, shoes the shoes come off at the door.
Give me a question or something.
Or in the garage or
I'm not here to talk about my illness.
The mudroom. You need a mudroom for this person. I've been looking at a lot of houses on Zillow. I'm much too poor to buy one, but I'm mature enough now where I like to think of myself owning a home, and I watch a lot of HGTV. You can't buy a house without a mudroom these days. It's on the list of everyone.
Mudrooms are key. You got to have a – what are those called? What are those little zones called where you can drop your keys and splash drop zone. A drop zone. Got to have a drop zone.
I feel like if there were fewer channels – because you know how, like, everything's so – like, back in the day, my thing with Johnny Carson, who I think is an awful human, but he was a superstar because there were only three channels.
Sure.
And – you know, now if there's a Johnny Carson, like John Stewart's a megastar, but how many people are actually watching him a night?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if the Property Brothers existed in the 70s, they would be two of the greatest stars of that generation.
That's
they
a are, really good take.
Thank you. I feel like they got it all. There's a whole package. There's two of them. They're different enough. Then the one guy dating, they're married to someone like famous.
Zooey Deschanel.
I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Are you an HGTV guy?
No. No.
I binge Love It or Miss It. That's my show.
Just a Zooey Deschanel fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Is she a stage actress? Does she have a background in theater? I could see you know, following.
Yeah, well, she's a singer. She's a traditional, like, trained singer.
Like yourself.
Much more trained than I.
I don't like Zooey.
Why?
You could not wait to pipe up and say that. I could see it in you. You're like a dog waiting to go for a walk. That's what you look like there.
Because she broke my man's heart.
Who?
Ben Gibbard.
Who's that?
I don't know who that is.
The lead singer for Death Cab. They were married.
She broke up with him?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you listen to any Death Cab record since, all he does is like complain about being left. All right, can we get a question in?
No,
now we're lingering. Now we start the show with 10 minutes of something we want to talk about, and Bart can't wait to get down to brass tacks.
Yeah, right. Usually it's his 15-minute soliloquy, and it's like, hey, no Zooey talk on this show. Grant, I know we like similar TV. If you've not seen New Girl, watch New Girl.
I like New Girl. New Girl is Friends adjacent in that it's funnier than Friends, but it's got that, like, every episode's kind of the same.
Yeah.
It's never going to hurt me. It's a great hungover show. Because I can throw that on when I wake up, and I'm like, it's not too much for me. This is the perfect show. I do like New Girl.
Bart, are you willing to watch New Girl, or does it hurt you too much as a Death Cab guy?
I've seen all of New Girl. It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I'm happy to report Schmidt is a really good dude in real life.
You've met Schmidt?
Name-dropping Schmidt?
I'm just telling you. Like,
can you ask a question?
We sat next to him at an LA Kings hockey game. All right.
A puck fan.
I think he was buddies with one of the players on the team. So maybe he was a puck fan, but
pretty badass.
He ran over to the penalty box and banged on the glass when his buddy got a penalty, and then distracted the guy so much that he was 4 seconds late coming out of the box.
Impact on the game.
A negative for his friend.
We could use him at Fiserv Forum or at American Family Field. That's a good fan.
There you go. I'm going to start off with this question. Beal or no Beal? You're relieved that the Bucks, though they re-entered reportedly after Beal focused his attention on Miami and Phoenix, the Bucks reportedly, I think it was Shams at The Athletic, wrote that then the Bucks re-entered and tried to convince Beal, sell him on Milwaukee. Without getting into what the trade package is, and maybe that's certainly part of the Beal or no Beal, you're relieved that the Bucks missed out on Bradley Beal. You're relieved. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I mean, it would be exciting if they got Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm. Good offseason story.
I think of the great Ian Malcolm. From Jurassic Park.
I thought I was another member of Death Cab for a second.
Dude, Death Cab or Marvel or what is it? Oh, it's Jurassic
Park. And he talks about scientists, but I'll say with NBA GMs, they're so preoccupied with accomplishment So they're so focused on whether they can do something, they never ask to stop if they should do something.
Wow.
Jeff. Yeah, similar to let's get in this fucking tuna can and go try to look at the Titanic remains.
Insane story to wake up to.
Absolutely bonkers.
Big maritime. I'm all over this. Oh, thank you.
I saw yesterday I wanted to make a joke, and I'm like, I don't want to make a joke about people's deaths.
Did you watch the CBS Sunday Morning?
Yes.
It was a couple months ago.
Yes.
I watched it. Hell yeah.
You're controlling it with the game genie.
It was right. They did a thing on Bob Weir, and then they did a thing on diving to the Titanic.
They've taken it off the website. I mean, it's still on the internet. But.
By the way, if you would have said like the Jeff Goldblum character from Jurassic Park, I would have remembered, but I forgot that his name was Dr. Ian Malcolm. But yeah.
Well, I was. By the way, what was I just doing? I was just watching like Jurassic Park clips, like behind the scenes or some shit.
I think it was recently the 30-year anniversary, so that makes sense. Yeah. Actually.
Yeah. Okay. Bradley Beal would have been exciting because that's a new thing of excitement. And maybe it would work. I don't know. What I feel like is we get like pigeonholed in our takes and our thoughts, and then they get frozen in time. Like I keep saying that in 2018, 2019, like Bradley Beal, we wanted him 5 years ago, and so we still think we want that Bradley Beal.
And Giannis wanted him 3 years ago. I mean, on the record, like wanted Bradley Beal. But yeah.
Well, he's in Greece right now, and he is hanging out with Quickly. Emmanuel Quickly is part of
that. That would be a great acquisition for the Bucks.
I mean, obviously, depending on the package, it'd be something new. I think that's where like we're a little stagnant. Is we got bounced early, Bud got fired. But we were hoping that then there would be more. Remember when the Brewers got Kane and Yelich?
Mm-hmm.
And we were excited. But then we were also excited because, well, there's going to be more. We thought there was going to be more pitching coming along with that.
Yeah.
We thought there was going to be more. As great as that was, as big as that was, we thought there would be more. So I think when Bud got fired, I think then we thought, oh, one of Chris or Drew could be on the move. And then maybe we find out something about Chris before this is posted. He'll probably decline the player option, and they'll probably work on a deal is probably, I think, what will happen. But I don't know that it would have worked. I still think the core that's coming back, if they bring everybody back, some people might be disappointed because what we just saw, and it's not new, they're still the favorites in the East.
The Bucks are? They are?
Right?
Well, I don't know. I thought you maybe had odds or something.
Odds, it's either them or Boston. And that's how it's going to be no matter what those teams do. Unless the Celtics trade Jalen for, like, nobody.
Well, I would say if the Miami Heat trade scraps and picks for Damian Lillard, that might change.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that would be a big odds shakeup for sure.
But that's another team coming in. The Bucks and Celtics aren't going to make a move that eliminates them from being a top, I'll go three, contender.
Sure.
They're not going to Josh Hader themselves. So
to speak. Yeah. And the Suns, I don't know. I think it is bullshit they're getting all these cheap guys from the Wizards now. But also, the joke right away was, oh, okay, so instead of losing in six, they're going to lose in seven. Like, this doesn't get them past Denver. I don't think so.
Maybe it depends what else they can do with Ayton. It depends.
So I would have been excited because it's something new and different and the unknown.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed that they didn't get him.
Grant, any relief that the Bucks missed out on Bradley Beal? Mm-hmm or mm-mm?
I would say mm-mm. I think my answer is basically the same with Bart. I would have been very excited. Like, assuming they would have traded, just for example, Chris or Drew and then other things, and they get Bradley Beal. So they swap out one piece of their core for Bradley Beal. Like, I think there is a path for that team to contend and to win. And I think there's a path for the team as it stands to contend and win if they were to stick this way. I've been interested the last 2 weeks, and you probably have seen all this too, Paul, about like the Bucks are really in on Beal. The Bucks want to move up into the first round. Like, we're just seeing all these little breadcrumbs that the Bucks are not sitting on their hands this offseason.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that they're not simply saying, we'll run it back. Even if they end up running it back, I like that is – they're not just sitting back and saying, well, Middleton was hurt. Last year, Giannis got hurt. Like, they are keeping their foot down on the gas pedal, even if no changes are made. And I like that because that's an attitude that starts at the top and that can come down. Bradley Beal would have here's the thing. Bradley Beal's like, oh, he's expensive and he's old. Well, but he's younger than Chris, right? Dude, he's also going to be expensive. So we need to think of these things relatively. Like, Bradley Beal would be old and expensive on the Celtics, and he's old and expensive on the Suns. But, you know, given what's currently on the Bucks, like, they'd actually be getting younger by adding Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there are multiple ways to build a contending roster. I think what the best thing to do in the NBA right now is to get your core that you really, really like, and then to tweak and to sustain that core as long as you can, maybe change one piece, maybe adjust this. That's what the Nuggets did. That's what the Bucks did. That's what the Warriors did. So I don't think swapping Middleton for Beal would have been some massive sea change move. It would have been a tweak to a team that's already won a championship. So I'm fine either way.
And not that the Bill Simmons trade value chart is the end all be all, but it's a reference point.
Spotify executive Bill Simmons.
Man, did he make headlines this week, huh?
I love how he was referred to. And he is an executive, but nobody thinks of that title when they think of Bill Simmons.
Right, for sure. Unless you're like national media, to which your audience is like, Bill what said who? You know.
Yeah.
But to us sports guys, it's like, yeah, okay. I think when you look at – so the Wizards got nothing, like, essentially, right? And I threw out, like, last week when I was talking about the Bill Simmons trade chart, he had, again, it's just a reference point, Drew Holiday is the 36th best trade value asset in the NBA, and Beal as 64th. That's 28 spots better that Drew was than Beal. And part of that, of course, is the no trade clause, which, by the way, Bradley Beal would not waive. He still, with Phoenix, has his no trade clause, which means if at midseason, if in 2 years, whatever the case might be, if he gets hurt and the Suns are like, oh, we got to move this asset to at least get something back, it's not up to you, Phoenix. It would not have been up to the Bucks. It would be up to Bradley Beal. So from a trade, it doesn't mean Beal is that much 28 spots lesser of a player than Drew Holiday, but value-wise of a contract, it's certainly a data point. I put out a trade last week, and I never have, to the point from earlier, I've never mentioned a trade on this show that I made up, but I did put one on Twitter last week, and it was basically like just trying to build scrap parts, non-Middleton, non-Drew, for Beal, and it's hard to get to the dollars, right? So you'd have to do something unlikely, like Crowder or Ingles do a sign and trade as part of it, and there's plenty of complications with that. But there are some people that were like, this is a ridiculous trade.
Well, like, there's only one ball, yeah.
No. But I mean, ridiculous in the sense. I appreciate your comedy, but like ridiculous in the sense, like, well, the Bucks are giving up nothing and they're getting Bradley Beal, and I'm like, you're missing the point. You know, like, go back to what Brian Windhorst was reporting, which was you're going to be surprised. This is like 2 or 3 days before, you're going to be surprised at how little value Beal has in a trade. And part of it was because if the Bucks went to Beal and they said Beal's like, hey, I want to come to Milwaukee, and the Bucks said, okay, cool, we're going to send out Drew Holiday. And Beal's like, well, now, wait a minute. I want to play with Drew Holiday. So never mind. I don't want to come to you. Bradley Beal has that power. So, like, essentially it would have been scrap parts compiled, and Beal would have been your fourth or fifth guy. It would have basically been like Giannis, Drew, Chris, Brooke, Beal, and 7 to 8 veteran minimum contracts and maybe Beauchamp or something. So
only one ball. Yeah.
Only one ball.
How high can usage rate go on a percentage-wise basis?
Well, 100%. It can only add up to 100.
So I'm not relieved, but I asked the question the way I did because who did you take live last week? Was that Jake, hot take himself, that you guys talked about Beal and that you were kind of...
Oh, yeah. I turned a voicemail into a talker. Or
yeah, and you guys were both quite negative about Beal.
No.
No, yes...
Yeah, Jake. But I don't even know who Jake wants at this point.
Nobody.
For what it's worth, like, Bart, you were equally as like, what is this, 2018? So I didn't know, like, if you were going to end up being like, okay, good, the Bucks didn't end up getting this Beal thing to go through. But yeah, I'm not really.
Well, this is my constant struggle. I think that there's a lot of people that. I mean, this is the 70s and 80s Packers thing again. I think a lot of the narrative that's driven from Bucks fans online is from young kids. And they did well. And I know I sound 100, but they did well with Beal on 2K. I don't know, man. I just think like a lot of this shit is just, you know, the way I'm talking about these young Bucks kids.
You're so close. Come on. Here
we go. They're gonna talk like this someday.
Oh yeah.
It happens. Yeah, Dad, how come the music you like isn't the new music? Why do you only listen to the old music? There's new music all the time. Here I am jamming out the fucking 90s alternative rock because it takes me to a place.
Yeah.
You know, it takes me to, like, it happens to all of us. We all think that when we get old, we're going to be different, but we're all the fucking same. We all look down on the young because the youth is wasted on the young. That is the greatest thing that's ever fucking been said in the world.
Speaking of Schmidt, one of the best, like, youths.
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 We can't. Well, every off season we fucking sit around our little campfire and say all these trades that are never going to happen. And in real life, there's fucking second aprons, man.
There are second aprons.
Also,
in real life.
How unlikable has Matt? And maybe I'm wrong. I just feel like Matt Ishbia has become such an unlikable figure in the NBA in such a short amount of time.
Because well, now he's locked on Jokic. We should have known then.
Yeah, and he's got, like, Isaiah Thomas, like, shadow GM.
That is – there's nothing he could do that would be more damning than the fact that he has decided that Isaiah Thomas should be his go-to.
It's those Michigan guys, Paul. They're all in cahoots with each other. They are. You ever talk to someone who went to Michigan, Ann Arbor? That's all they talk about. All they talk about. We used to have a coworker who would come into town like for consulting purposes, like once a year, and he'd talk with everyone. We didn't even talk about radio. He just talked about Michigan the whole time. You ever read Ann Arbor? Oh, such a good school. The Michigan State and the Michigan people, they're all nuts for each other. So no wonder he's got Isaiah Thomas helping him out.
Go Blue. Does Dan Plucker listen to this podcast, Bart?
Jack Council. Cheers to Big – you're damn right. And take it easy on – I did hear you – going after Brett. Sorry, Brett's supporting the manager of his family. We're supposed to be a family. Brewers fans are a family. Craig Council's a part of that family. So Jack
Council. You get one congratulatory tweet on Jack Council, maybe two.
I have one or two. That's fine.
There's a quota.
We all live in glass houses, and we're going to – well, Paul actually doesn't, but Bart and I definitely do on Twitter. We're living in our glass house, and we're supposed to throw stones at Brett for tweeting too much about one thing or another. I won't have it.
Janice! But Vanis the kid.
Vanis.
Good for Jack Council. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Next.
All right. Next. Our friend Badger Noonan. Is he a friend?
Paul. Yeah. Like, hey, hold on.
He actually followed me on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I felt good.
No, what do you have to use some paper here, Bart?
Yeah. It's time to do a promotional read.
Okay.
You could have done that so much cleaner like 15 seconds ago. We brought up Badger Noonan, and now we're going to have to – whatever. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I fucked up.
No, it's fine.
It's a tease. We've got a Brewers topic coming up right after this read.
Badger Noonan said something. We'll tell you what he said coming up after this.
HappyPlaceHemp.com.
God, promo that was code, not smooth at all.
Promo code BART, 25% off. That's it. No, fam. Look, I'm not going to say medically, I don't think I can say. But I woke up feeling a little better with my PF, and I took a gummy last night with CBD in it. Are they related? That's not for me to tell. I just know that it helped. That's basically like what they can legally say.
Go on Joe Rogan and debate it. Bring your findings to the podcast.
Like when I played that clip when I went out there with Chris. He's like, I had sunburn. It fucking hurt. I put the cream on it and then it didn't hurt anymore. But I can't be like, ugh. But the thing, it works.
Yeah.
So try it for yourself happyplacehemp.com, promo codes BART. We're talking CBD. We're talking gummies. What I didn't realize, because I haven't done the tincture, my favorite word. But basically, if you want a gummy, if you want to like feel good, you take a gummy. And then it, if you just want it right away, you just spray that shit in your mouth. And then you're flying across the stars, okay? So that's what you got to do. And I'm one of these guys still, like, that takes one, and I'm like, I don't feel nothing. I don't feel nothing. I think I beat it. I think my body beat it. And then the next day I wake up, I was like, holy fuck. I was feeling good. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code's BART. Every order, 25% off. Free shipping as well. Badger Noonan.
Paul Henning said what now?
Not Henning.
Oh, Badger Paul. My bad.
I just appreciated your what, 1 a.m. tweet to Evan Massey.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy.
Do you even remember posting that one?
Yes, I do. I do. What I do now, if I'm a little of a certain nature and I'm going to bed and I get the urge to tweet, I do stare at my phone and like try to lock in that memory so that there's no surprises when I wake up.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
Well, because someone put Evan Massey on this list of who's trustworthy, who's not. And they put him on not trustworthy, but the fact that Massey's on the list is a win for him. Massey's never blocked me because it's a win for him. Even if I retweet him to 9 people, it's a win for him. So I asked him, will you come on my podcast? I want to rip on you to your face. he is not. You know what? Maybe I'll try to get Badger Noonan on. He's been doing some radio hits with Kristen at Civic Media.
That's As Goes Wisconsin. Is that show?
Yep. I've been on that show.
Really?
I went to their studios. Oh, sure.
Nice.
Yeah, good show. They're growing rapidly. Anyway, Badger Noonan
tweets, since the beginning of May, Christian Yelich, and sorry for some stats here, is hitting .283 batting average, .401 on base, .500 slugging percentage. So .283, .401, .500 with 6 home runs and 11 doubles. There have been some other tweets recently that have suggested, again, I'm going to do one more stat. Sorry, remember, Matt, this is one of the two things I feel confident talking about. Christian Yelich does lead the Brewers significantly in wins above replacement. He's pretty much worth his contract. Believe it or not, Christian Yelich is, by MLB dollar war, you know, dollar per wins above replacement standards, Christian Yelich is, he's worth his contract. Breaking news. He really genuinely is worth his contract. Whether he's worth it to the Brewers, I don't know. The question is this. Christian Yelich should be an all-star this season with his 122 weighted runs created plus, with his 2.2 wins above replacement, the best Brewer by just about every advanced metric. Christian Yelich is having an all-star season. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, so the Diamondbacks in Monday's game, Joe Mantiply came on to pitch. And I'm like, I know that name. And then they go, oh, he was the Diamondbacks all-star last year. And he was, because there was nobody else. So he was the best of a bad lot. I don't know that Christian Yelich is an all-star. I don't know if he's having an all-star year, but he's a worthy candidate for this team. If you get one guy, it's probably Devin Williams. But everyone else sucks. So I'm being – what's the word? Like, what's the – whatever. Yes. He is having an all-star season the same way that someone can be the hottest chick in a town of 100. Mm.
Grant has been, like, disapproving this entire minute. Grant, mm-hmm, or mm-mm. Christian Yelich is having an all-star season.
Mm-hmm. I think he is. And I think, while he's not back at a pace of hitting 40 bombs, I think we need to I think we need to recognize how good he's playing. Like I talked about this on Tuesday night's show on the Wisco Sports Show. This reminds me so much. And again, I'm basing this on vibes and a very quick Google search. Paul, you might be able to speak to the numbers more clearly.
I would like to also speak to the numbers once you're done.
Okay. You can also speak to the both of you speak to the numbers. I feel like this is very reminiscent of when Christian Yelich first got to Milwaukee, the first half of 2018, where some doubles, some singles, spraying the ball over the place, good base running, good defense, just an all-around good player that's always involved in the game and making an impact. And in 2018, like we remember he ended the year with however many home runs. It was, you know, 35 or something like that. In May, he had 2 home runs. In June, he had 5. Like Christian Yelich, a vast majority of his home runs in his actual NBA or MVP season, the first one, 2018, I know he didn't win in 19, but they all came in the last 2 months of the year. So this, what we're seeing now is actually very reminiscent of what we saw from Christian Yelich in the majority of his first season, a season where he made an all-star game and we were all very okay with it. It was him and Kane. And it's not like he was hitting 40 bombs. It's not like he was batting 390. He wasn't this great specialist at one thing. He was just very well-rounded. Like I compared him on Monday's show to Jimmy Butler. When you watch the Heat and they're playing well, and Jimmy Butler's involved in everything. He's hitting a 3 here. He's hitting a mid-range jumper. He's getting a steal. He's involved in everything. You just see him. The impact is felt. And that's what I see from Christian Yelich right now.
Christian Yelich is 54th in the league in batting average.
Couldn't care less. Dumb stat. Keep going.
52nd in OPS.
Not good.
His home run fine. Is tied for 82. His RBI with 31 is tied for 97.
I think though, to Grant's point, and to Badger Noonan's point, it's like, yes, you have to include the full season.
Did Paul say he's an all-star?
So what I do sometimes, I take a screenshot, I put it into my list so we can talk about it. But then I remember some other tweets. So I don't remember if it was him or some other Brewers folks on Twitter, Brewers Twitter, as it were. But it's not like if he had been the one who tweeted it. Like, so I'm going to add, and I don't mean like he's the best of a bad bunch. Until Monday night, they were in first place, and the Reds had to win 9 straight just to bump the Brewers out of it. Now, it's only 3 or 4 games above 500 first place, but it's first place. He is, again, advanced metrics, weighted runs created plus, wins above replacement, like even the more preliminary advanced stats, he's an all-star. He is. Now, if you want to talk about those other stats, like if May through
Christian Yelich is not an all-star. Oh no, he's not.
You're wrong.
This like, year,
you're objectively wrong. Like
I'm objectively wrong.
This is not like an opinion one. Yeah, this is just like, you're just incorrect on this.
There's gotta be. How many outfielders do they pull in the National League?
Is it a?
I don't know.
Yelich is not an all-star, guys.
He's been playing super well.
And that's what I was going to say. I think, Grant, to your point about things happening in the second half of the year, just to get this point while Bart looks this up, is like if this post-May Yelich, you know, this 900.
All right, I'll go by OPS. Because MLB voting does this pretty good. National League OPS leaders: Corbin Carroll, Ronald Acuna, Fernando Tatis, Juan Soto, Mookie Betts, Jack Sawinski, Castellanos, Gurriel Jr., Lane Thomas, TJ Friedl, Brian Reynolds, Mike Yastrzemski, Christian Yelich.
It's a pretty good group to be in, actually.
Yeah, but he's at the bottom of that. He's not ahead of.
Well, you stopped. You stopped with Yelich. You created this arbitrary group that he's at the bottom of. There's a whole.
No. He's at the bottom of that because. I get it. But he's at the bottom of that because how many guys did I name? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. How many outfielders are gone?
We were saying that he was an 8 or 9 hitter at the beginning of the year. Like, you got to think of where we were. Forget
Yelich is having a very – if I'm Christian Yelich, I'm going home at night. Like I was wearing my world's best dad hat the other night. Mm-hmm. And I can put that on and feel good about, maybe I did earn this. And I think Yelich can go home and get that paycheck and be like, you know, maybe I am earning that. And so he's having a very, I'm satisfied by all measures on Christian Yelich, but he is not an all-star in 2023. He is not. You are categorically wrong.
That's the Twitter clip, by the way, right there. That was well done. That was very good.
It might be a little long. I might separate what I'm trying to, I might separate some little YouTubes.
You're doing shorts now.
Jordy. Shorts get views.
Well, they do. That's because my generation hates turning their phone sideways.
But I did a short on Klay Thompson, and then my Klay Thompson podcast got more listens because people are like, oh, I want to hear more of this. Meanwhile, then Matt in the Falls like sent me a note like, I laughed out loud. You're recycling this again. By the way, you think I'm fucking done? I said, there's a lot of meat left on that buffalo.
Hey, Bart.
I'm using every bone.
Here's where I'm going to prove why you are objectively wrong. So a lot of the guys that you named, again, take defense for what it's worth, but Corbin Carroll is a negative defensive player, according to FanGraphs.
Corbin Carroll might be the MVP.
No, I'm not trying to say that Yelich is better than that. I'm going to tell you. So what I've done is I've sorted by wins above replacement among National League outfielders, okay? I'm going to name the number of players ahead of Christian Yelich. Corbin Carroll, he's number one. Acuna Jr., two. Betts, three. Tatis Jr., four. Soto, five. Yelich, six. Why is Yelich sixth? Because Acuna Jr. is a major defensive negative. Carroll, a defensive negative. Soto, a defensive negative. And then some of the guys who were behind him in wins above replacement, Nimmo, Sawinski, Brian Reynolds, are all negative defensive players. Ian Happ in the 13th spot is a major negative defensive. The point is, like, he's also been an above average, defensive outfielder, where some of these guys are negatives in the outfield. So
I'm telling you right now, he will not make the All-Star game.
So do you think though, that this post May Christian Yelich is real?
Yeah.
Because if so, all the numbers that you're naming are going to get better because they're going to continually.
Okay. Well, All-Star voting ends like tomorrow night.
Okay. But I'm just saying, really?
I don't know.
He just had to say that for the sake of the argument.
But it ends soon. The All-Star game's like in 2 weeks. Three.
Okay.
So anyway, the Brewers have, by a measure that
if
I
this was the old Chuck and Winkler banter, I would say Frames, I will bet you. Mm-hmm. And then he would say, well, what do you want, player? And I'd say, I wouldn't even take odds.
Even though he tried to give them to you. He tried to give them to you. You wouldn't take them.
I would bet a straight-up $100 crispy that Yelich will not make the All-Star game.
On straight-up?
Yeah.
Come on, Paul. It's taking food out of his son's mouth.
That's why I'm debating it. Before I answer that question, I would just say I think there's a difference between making the All-Star game and should have made the All-Star game.
Well, I'm just telling you he won't. You guys are out here saying he's an all-star, saying he's best win percentage. Fucking
Paul's. See, Paul,
you're coming at me saying Christian Yelich's usage rate is as high as it's ever fucking been, and I'm telling you it's not good enough.
You know, it can only add up. It can only add up to 100. Sorry, Grant, you beat me.
No.
Now is he, as the Brewers outfield has changed, is he malleable to play with all these guys?
Malleable.
Oh my god!
Malleable.
Blake Perkins came up to bat the other day. I had no idea who the fuck it was.
That was funny. And then you called. Well, I was listening to the podcast. You called David Freese Scott Freese. That shit was funny. Where'd that
Scott
come Freese. From?
I don't know. Scott Freese.
Scott Hatterberg and
would you guys care to venture? There are four Brewers positional players with a wins above replacement more than one. One of them is Christian Yelich, who leads the team. You want to
okay,
try to-
yes. Anderson, Miller, and Contreras.
Your guess is Grant?
I get another one?
Well, you named three. You got two of the three correct. Bart said Anderson, Miller, and Contreras. Two of the three.
Well, the thing is, Miller had, like, a great month.
Yeah, so he had a good enough month.
Weimer, Miller. Contreras has been so good on defense.
Just stop right there.
Oh, yell it.
Miller, Weimer, and Contreras are the ones. Brian Anderson just misses the cut. He would have been fifth. Which leads to my next question. The most disappointing Brewer this season.
I know who it is.
Is Willy Adames. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grant, you said mm-hmm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go you can it. Mention, I'm going to look up old tweets because I feel like I've been calling Willy Adames a shitty player for a while.
You have definitely, you have absolutely been doing that. Grant, it sounds like you have a lot to say. So as you like to say to Bart, cook.
He's not shitty. It's just that, he hit 28 home runs this year, whatever.
Oh, that was my thing. Yeah. A lot of them came when they were down 6-1.
Right. That was
there is not a player with a big name and a big personality like Willy Adames who comes up in big moments and I'm like, yeah. I don't feel it. When he comes up to the plate, I should feel it, especially because the rest of the lineup is Owen Miller and John Singleton. And I was driving back from Milwaukee a couple weekends ago and I was listening to the game. It was that Sunday, the final game against the Athletics. And I'm driving and I'm like, is he playing today? Why does he need the day off? Is he concussed still? Like he just had a 5-day stretch where he was off. He was playing. And I probably heard him come up to bat, but they're like, when I'm listening in the car, and especially when they have as many randos playing as they have the last couple of weeks, I should know Adames is up in two spots. He's coming. Like we have one of our better players. And I just don't notice it. I don't feel it. Like if you showed someone random the Brewers game, that rando should be able to tell, oh, this guy, this Willy Adames guy, he's one of their better players. And you'd never know it. You'd never know it watching it on the TV, except he's a good looking guy. So, I'd have my guesses, but yeah, he looks lost.
Here's some tweets I have about Willy Adames that I can find. Here's a positive one.
You're bodying yourself.
I am. This is from May 27, 21. I will snort that Adames bat flip until I am dead from it. Okay.
No one's ever said he doesn't have style. He does.
Let's see. Here is where I said, why go for the hero moment when you can walk and make someone else do it? That was about Adames. Then Brett got mad at me. The only issue I have with Bart was him spreading fake news regarding Willy Adames. 21 of his 31 home runs were when the game was tied or within one run.
But again, this is why I think this trio works well. Paul's the numbers guy. I am the vibes guy. I am telling you that Willy Adames, I know, I feel it. I feel his home runs, his moments come in non-big moments. So, okay, well, the game's within one run or it's tied. Okay, so
it's probably the first inning.
It's 0-0, and the second inning, Willy Adames hits a solo shot or something like
Willy
that.
Willy Adames is not a clutch hero. Willy Adames had a lot of moments to really put his stamp on a moment, and he failed. And because he's a shortstop, he's going to make $30 million.
Well, that number might be going down.
Well, Orlando Arcia completely reset the market. So there's
also
that.
The vibes around the Brewers. And now again, we don't know the Tuesday game because if they lose Tuesday, then everyone's going to be pissed again. But that I really appreciate the Brewers. Father's Day weekend Brewers, they captured something again.
They did.
They captured something. The Page thing was ridiculous, but somehow, even if we make fun of it ironically, it's kind of not.
It brought us together. It gave us something to – it brought a fan base together.
They did mullet cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this mullet thing, this is what – this is great. This is organic. This is – the fans can get behind it. The team's starting to be like, I might get a mullet. Fans are getting mullets. It's a lot better than just saying the day before the Braves come to town, oh, by the way, claws up. Claws up. Claws up is the worst thing that happened to Milwaukee baseball since the Braves moved.
I guess what were they supposed to do, though?
Nothing.
Okay.
Let's go Brew Crew.
Our boys in Brew. I still want some sort of a... But, the satire with the military, maybe that's...
Claws up.
Sure.
I was sending Grant. I'll play one.
What'd you send me?
I was sending.
Oh no. So Paul, for context, can I tell you why
Please.
This came up?
Yeah.
So Paul, I am producing a feature to run on Friday.
Yes, everybody needs to listen every day to Grant's show. But if you're ever going to catch one, it needs to be Friday's show.
I'm producing a documentary style hour long feature on Paige Speronic bobblehead night.
I tweeted. Did you say an hour long?
Oh yeah.
So interviews.
I'm taking Friday off because I have a wedding, and I'm like, well, I have to make some sort of pre-recorded show. So when I have a lot of notice, I'm like, I like to actually put together something unique. So I'll call Bart and it'll actually be whatever. So I talked to Tim Dillard. I'm talking to Kurt Hoag. I'm talking to Bart. I tried JR. He was like, nah, I'm on vacation. No, thanks. Got it. And I emailed the Brewers. I said, hey, I would love to get Rick Schlesinger this week because I don't think it's an unfair ask. I never asked the Brewers for anything. And I'm like, you guys just had an unbelievable weekend of promotions. Like you guys nailed this. Like Rick should want to go victory lapping this weekend. They politely declined. So I tried to get Rick to talk about it, but I tweeted the teaser. It's like it's 30 for 30 adjacent.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So then I was looking in my old files for any Schlesinger cuts that would work.
Oh, like to use in the clip as if he said it to Grant or what?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And all I could find was when I went to the Humane Society where they had, they tried to prove that Hank was real.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And I have all these cuts.
I have here in my hand, which I will read, is a notarized letter from Dr. William S. Rice. This is definitely the original Hank. And this is a notarized document from Hank's veterinarian.
This is like when Trump's doctor was like, most healthy motherfucker that's ever walked. Okay, Rick. Come on. All right.
So, Bart, Willie Adames is the most disappointing Brewer this season? Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm?
I think his whole tenure has been disappointing. I still think that, like, could you imagine if we still had, like, we would be talking about retiring the number one if we never fucking traded Jonathan VR.
Oh, so you're a VR guy. I'm an RC guy through and through. That's what.
Don't forget what Bart's Jonathan VR take.
We should be, even you and I, Bart, who are hung up on our exes at shortstop.
By number one, I meant number five.
We can still look at this current shortstop. He's hitting like 138. Like I saw numbers last night. It's poor. They don't have a middle of the order right now. They straight up don't. Yelich would be scoring more runs if they had some semblance of a meat of the order, even if they have like 2012 Casey McGee when he fell off the map. I'd take that over what they have now because Yelich is getting on base. He's available and no one can get him home.
So Bart, the answer here, I mean, not only are you saying it's Adames, you're saying it's Adames for years. He's been the most disappointing Brewer. You're going even bigger.
I think Willie Adames. All right, you want a Twitter clip?
Here we go. I thought we already had one, but this is going to be good. I can tell.
I got to psych myself up for this. Be sure to catch all my psyching up on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. This episode also on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, this episode's also an audio-only podcast. DanShaney.com.
For people not watching, he is stretching. He's doing some forearm and
la 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 ho lo 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 la 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 ho lo 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 la 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 ho lo lo lo.
He's ready.
Willie Adames. If I were to go shopping at a baseball player store and I saw a nice purse and it said Willie Adames, I would look at a different purse that didn't have a name on it. Willie Adames is a name brand that's not any better than the store brand. I would want the Kroger brand. I would want the Target brand. You slap Willie Adames on there, all of a sudden, you have to give much more praise and it's much more expensive because he's a fun guy. Willie Adames has been overrated since the jump. I won't use that for Twitter, but I do mean it.
It's a good analogy, I think. I mean, he did get here in 2021, and the Brewers didn't lose for like a month.
Yeah.
Maybe that was going to happen anyways, and Willie just arrived when...
And he was also the... Look, I'd like the guy, he's whatever, but I'm just saying that he gets more love because there's no one else to like.
Well, there's no one else. There's not anyone else to like on the team?
Well, now there is.
You mean there wasn't, like when he first got here, or what do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I don't want to be the anti-Willy Adames guy, but the guy's at 200.
No, come on, 202.
Jesus. By the way, your blood alcohol content batting average joke made it to Drew and KB last night. It reached critical mass.
What?
Like they said it?
They said it, and then they were like, and don't call and get mad. We're not making fun of drunk driving, blah, 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 you know, Bob Huggy or whatever. Something like
that. Wait. Did they credit Bart?
No.
No. Basically, their joke was Bob Huggins' BAC could hit in the middle of the Brewers order.
See, that is a good joke.
Agreed.
But one that I didn't feel comfortable making. Because
lighten up, Francis. Okay.
Well, just like I didn't want to joke about the Titanic thing. Like, people died.
Do we know that? All I could find this morning on that was tweets about it. Like, I couldn't find CBS News. Here's what's happening.
They went 2.5 miles undersea with a Game Boy to pilot their fucking tuna can. They are dead. Even that, I shouldn't say.
I'm going to talk about this on my show tonight.
Probably.
You're the maritime expert.
I think there are ways to talk about it without the way that Bart just chose to.
I mean, the fact that he called that Game Boy, that's good
shit.
It's
a Logitech controller.
I know, but you didn't say Logitech. You said Game Boy, which is why it was funny. That's good.
I think the other candidates for most disappointing Brewer would definitely be Jesse Winker.
But we didn't. I 100% agree with you. They're both disappointing, but we expected Willy Adames to kind of be Willy Adames. We thought maybe Jesse Winker could do this if we get him back in the Central and get him off the Mariners.
Anyone who had expectations for Jesse Winker to be good is a moron.
We had hopes.
That's a bad take, Bart.
Expectations.
Hope and expectations.
That's a bad take. He was one of the best hitters in baseball more recently than Christian Yelich was one of the best hitters in baseball. Why is it outlandish?
Bad.
So what? And you're talking about like he was like a premier, like what, 330, 320 batting average.
Sometimes guys lose it.
That shouldn't mean that it's like pure hopium to say like, oh, well, this guy's going to be bad because he was bad
last year. What do you expect Winker to be? Like, it's a crime he hasn't hit a home run.
If you were to take like the median outcome of like horrible in Seattle, amazing in Cincinnati, the middle would have been perfectly acceptable. Unfortunately, he's been Seattle, Jesse. Worse. Is it really statistically worse? I've not compared. I think Rowdy Tellez is a candidate.
Yeah.
Is a negative point.
He hasn't hit a home run since, what did they say, May 20th?
Yeah. And he's the club's leader, right? Like I saw that tweet. It's like the Brewers' leader in home runs hasn't hit a home run since whatever game, and it was a wild stat.
He's a negative wins above replacement player. That is by definition disappointing. Is there anyone in the pitching staff that you would have, you know, I think we agree it's Adames.
Freddie.
So I think Burns had higher expectations than Freddie, right? But Burns leads the pitching staff in, you know, every meaningful advanced statistic, but it's still been a lesser than expected Corbin Burns. So he can lead the Brewers pitching staff and whatever, but he's not been, you know, the Cy Young guy.
I want to go back and look at the context of Corbin Burns' starts and be like, coming into this day that Corbin Burns started, had the Brewers won a certain amount of games in a row or lost a certain amount of games in a row? Because what we want from an ace to continue a winning streak or to end a losing streak, right? Like the Brewers came off this weekend, they won 3 in a row, they looked awesome, all this energy, and then Corbin Burns at home goes out and he gives up 5 runs before ever recording it out. And it's like, that's, we want the opposite from our ace, right? We want the ace to keep the ball rolling or to stop the ball of a losing streak. And I feel like that hasn't been the case with him this year. So maybe I'll do a deep dive into his
Get a little deep dive.
I mean, it's only June 20th, so I don't have to look at that many games, which is the only reason I'll do it. If it was August, there's no way I'd embark on such a project.
No.
Now, this would have been a good segue for your Titanic thing after saying you're going to do a deep dive, but I will leave that to you. I think it's Willy Adames.
Where I wanted to use the Ian Malcolm quote. That was why it was on my mind, because it feels like this whole Titanic thing is very Jurassic Park, where we are trying to create dinosaurs. We know we shouldn't. The ship is already sunk. Why are you going to go? They've already made a million documentaries. Why would you pay $250,000 to see it with your own eyes?
May I speak on this? Because this is something I enjoy, maritime history, shipwreck history. You go back and you listen to the quotes of the captains of the people who went out and searched for the Edmund Fitzgerald when it went down and they first discovered the crash site. They're all spooky old guys who are like superstitious to the max, but they're all like, the ship went into the lake. The lake is like, this is mine. I own this. And the lake gets pissed when people go sniffing around there. I remember the captain of, what was it? The H.B. Hoggett. That's right. I had to look it up. It was one of the first ships to go out there. And I've watched interviews with the captain, and he said when they went out to dive above the Fitz, one of their marking buoys was like pulled hundreds of feet underwater. It was crushed. The water was so, you don't go sniffing around shipwrecks. It's bad. Like they're basketball gods. You don't upset the basketball gods. You don't upset the maritime gods. That shipwreck is owned by the Atlantic. It's not meant for people. Like there's just some things we don't do. So I'm with you.
Going to tour the Titanic wreckage is like 2 weeks after them doing, or 2 years after someone going like, all right, for $250,000, let's go tour Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How the fuck would you go there?
Mm-hmm. Because you're rich and you're like, oh, spend my money.
I'm bored. I got money. I'll go see a shipwreck. Now for $500,000, you can go see the Titanic wreckage and this new thing.
What's the new thing?
The new vessel that just...
Oh, I'm a dope. Sorry, that went over my head. Just like the 2 miles of water that's over the heads of...
Yes, come on! Fucking stupid. I don't even like going in the deep end of a pool. 2.5 miles of water?
I would 100... By the way, just let the record show. Maybe not the Titanic, because 2 miles is a long-ass way. But if I had an opportunity to go in a submarine, I'd go a ways down. I think that would be really cool. Yeah.
There's no amount of money he could have paid me to do.
Really?
No amount.
No.
Paul's pretty...
The smart. Amount... Bart, you're with me, right?
What's the risk-reward? The risk...
No, I'm saying, is there an amount of money...
With your own eyes that you could see film of? That's the reward? The risk is... You die in a tiny confined space with 4 other idiots?
What I'm asking you is there an amount of money it would take to get you to do it?
No.
I'm with you. It doesn't. The amount does not exist. And Grant's saying he would kind of willingly just give it a try.
It's kind of messed up because on one, there's two
wolves. I would do things for money.
Yeah, you would.
But nothing that puts my life in danger.
I have two wolves inside of me. One wolf believes that it's absolutely wrong to go sniffing around shipwrecks, like I said, because it's against some law of nature. But the other wolf inside of me really wants to go sniffing around shipwrecks. So I live in conflict on this issue. The Titanic's too far down. The ocean, Lake Superior, I'd love to go on a submarine in Lake Superior. That I would love to do.
Grant, would you like... Do a shark cage dive?
Yeah, 100%. Water does not freak me out. Water does not freak me out. Heights, yes. I would never do high things. I would never climb. Bungee jumping, suspended. Water, I don't really have a problem with water.
Bart, an amount of money it would take for you to do like a skydive or like a bridge bungee jump. The amount does not exist for me.
Well, I knew I would never do a bridge bungee jump when I watched Trevor dive on live TV.
Who? What?
Trevor.
Say more.
Hillary's fiance from Fresh Prince.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I do know the reference now that you say that.
Yeah.
Was it Hillary, will you marry?
Yeah. And they're like, I mean, when I first saw that clip, I was like, wow, that was an amazing clip. Because I was like, TV could, wow, shit, you could, wow, I was stunned. Just stunned. Mm-hmm. And they all laughed about it.
It was a part of the comedy bit.
Yeah.
That he perished whilst proposing.
Bart, I brought up skydiving on my show a couple weeks ago and a caller called in. Did you know about this, that in the late 90s in Riverfest, there was a team of skydivers that were doing displays and one of their parachutes didn't go off and they zoomed through the roof of the Popcorn Tavern on 4th Street?
What?
At like, you can Google it. I found it. The caller was not pulling my leg. Hit the roof of the popcorn at like 150 miles an hour and died on impact.
Were there people in there?
Well, I don't, because the bar's downstairs. I don't remember that detail, but nasty stuff.
God, if I could redo my life in lacrosse, I would never make a second trip to the Popcorn Tavern.
Really?
It was not for me.
Hmm. Interesting.
It was not for me.
Grant, I just want to say
The night never improved. Once we hit Popcorn Tavern, the night that was like at a house party when someone pulled out Guitar Hero. Okay. The level of fun is over for the night.
You're anti Guitar Hero?
At parties. When we were in college, at that age, it was like 2005, and this is when I was anti YouTube. I was anti-YouTube guy because we would sit around these parties and someone would go, hey, did you see fucking kid doesn't want to go to the dentist? And we'd all sit around the phone and watch a YouTube. And I'm like, can we?
Has anybody heard this Chocolate Rain?
Well, that was fucking cool.
So you just wanted everyone to be present with each other. I see.
I move away from the mic so I can breathe. Chocolate Rain.
Grant, do you know Chocolate Rain?
No.
You don't know Chocolate Rain?
Is it a spoof of November Rain?
No, it's just Chocolate Rain.
Purple Rain.
You don't. Oh, I was like, I did not
chocolate
expect
rain.
That.
Chocolate Rain. Do you know Potter Puppet Pals? That was my first foray.
Didn't that guy die?
Chocolate Rain.
I think he died. No, he's alive.
Bart, Chocolate Rain was sang. Chocolate Rain was sang by...
Tay Zonde. I just
Tay Zonde. You're damn right.
If he was dead or not. He's not.
Tay Zonde. Last thing I want to say before we do our last topic, Grant, you mentioned all this maritime stuff, which of course, you know, only makes me think of Arrested Development, maritime law.
I mean, listen to these lyrics. Chocolate
You're
Rain.
You're a crook, Captain Hook. Judge, won't you throw the book at the pirate?
Listen to the lyrics for Chocolate Rain. Chocolate rain, some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain, a baby born will die before the sin.
So it's not a Purple Rain ripoff.
Not at all. It was like, it's an original piece.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
If Bart played it, he wouldn't be able to monetize, so he's not.
Chocolate rain, some seldom mentioned on the radio. Chocolate rain, it's the fear your leaders call control.
Jesus. I'm reading the lyrics now.
Chocolate rain.
Build a tent and say the world is dry. Zoom the camera out and see the lie. Jesus.
It's a metaphor for racism against African Americans. And we all looked at it like it's a funny song, but he had a message.
It's like Bo Burnham. It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is so you have a deeper thing going on here, and it's not just poop jokes.
All right, you got it, one more?
Last one. By the way, that was 2007, Grant. You should have been all over that at age 9.
My parents, I didn't, I was not, I went to Catholic school and I had a very wholesome, sheltered is a strong word. That makes it sound like I wasn't sheltered. I was just.
Sheltered. But it, I mean, this, yeah, okay. So you just weren't on YouTube. So you weren't allowed or you weren't really privy to YouTube.
No, I wasn't privy to YouTube. I was also privy. 9 in 2007.
Well, Bart, fucking Teen Titans Go.
I had
Bart's kids rocking the YouTube every day.
Every goddamn day.
Watching kids play with toys.
Oh, now we're watching Ellie Sparkles.
What is it?
I don't know. And then there's like the bag bunch.
I don't know any of this.
And then there's fucking, of course, Blippi.
Well, naturally. Well, of course, yes.
You ever see Blippi?
No. I have no clue what that is.
I know what it is. I'm not. We've
Blippi,
not
so Blippi like is some guy. He's not. He's just like some guy that runs around and plays.
Oh, he looks like some modern version of Steve from Blue's Clues.
Yeah, so he runs around and plays. Now there is a new Blippi, and parents were pissed because then Blippi went on tour, but the new Blippi went on tour, and the kids didn't notice, but all like the parents are mad because like when you were a parent, you watch these things, you like sort of like get into it, like you're looking at the fucking backstory of Blippi, and you want to know. But Blippi will be like playing around, and he'll be like, "Do do 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 do, a cup is a circle, circle." And then he doesn't say another learning thing for 5 minutes. And then he'll like, do, 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 hands. I have 10 fingers. And it's like, this is educational. But it's not. It's just a creepy dude running around with kids.
I watched The Wiggles. That was my upbringing.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Fruit salad. Mm. Yummy, yummy.
You probably watched VeggieTales, you fucking cat.
I watched it. I watched so much VeggieTales. Holy smokes. We had all the VHSs. VeggieTales is great. Don't rip on VeggieTales.
Do your last question.
We never did get to talk about CJ Stroud after the draft. And now there's a perfect chance to talk about CJ Stroud.
Really left a hole in my heart, too.
Well, remember how I was like the he did bad on the test guy, and you were like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Right. Here's what I want to ask you. So your buddy at Pro Football Talk, who you once wrote a glowing email to about how wonderful he is at his job, Bart, true story.
Oh, Floreo.
Floreo. He posted a story in which new Texans and former Cowboys wide receiver Noah Brown said, CJ Stroud has the potential to be as good as Dak Prescott. Which had me like, this is his teammate, right? Now, you know, again, Noah Brown was a Cowboy, is a Texan, so he's making the Dak Prescott parallel. But it's a national headline now. If CJ Stroud is as good as Dak Prescott, that's a good outcome for a number two overall pick. That would be a good outcome for CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, Dak Prescott currently doesn't make my list of franchise quarterbacks.
How many are on that list?
7.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's definitely not in the top 7.
Once again, the qualification for that is the team that has you would not trade you for any of the other guys.
Mm.
Mahomes, but everyone would trade for Mahomes. He's in his own tier. Mm-hmm. Burrow, Herbert, Lamar, Hurts, Josh Allen, and I do include Trevor Lawrence.
I'm not sure if I feel you on Lamar Jackson, but okay.
Well, you're categorically wrong.
That objectively
he will throw for 6,000 yards, and I will be drafting him in every league possible.
But he's never healthy in January, ever. But
I only need him the first 15 weeks.
Oh, so you're fantasy football. Okay, not real football.
So those are my 7. Dak is like a 8, 9, or 10 guy. So he's
wow, that's actually pretty high.
I was gonna say.
Oh, I think Dak's good. I think I've been more willing to give Dak compliments than others.
You back Dak?
But I do back Dak. But I think that the Cowboys, if they could have one of those 7 other guys,
oh yeah,
would trade any Dak for any of them.
Of course.
So an outcome to be CJ Stroud for Dak Prescott, I would say. Mm-hmm, I would think that's a good outcome. You look at some of the quarterbacks that have been drafted high in the past, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Joe Burrow, Tua Herbert, Kyler Murray, number one, Kyler Murray will be playing baseball by the year 2027.
He's missed a lot of baseball prep time. So I don't know.
Baker Mayfield 1, Sam Darnold 3, Mitch Trubisky 2. I mean, if you can get a number 2 pick to be as good as Dak Prescott, there are certainly worse fates in life. So I would say if he's that good, then yes.
If Jordan Love turns out, like, is that an outcome? Like, think of Jordan Love in that way. Like, if Jordan Love turns into Dak Prescott, what are Packers fans going to think about that?
Jordan Love needs to win a Super Bowl.
So you're almost saying, like, the individual part of that is irrelevant, Bart? It's more about... And I think Dak Prescott is a good enough quarterback on the right team in the right moment to win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think the difference is like, I don't know. I was caught off guard by the headline. It sounds like, I mean, Bart, you made a really good argument. You might have sold me on it. I just thought it was like odd that his own teammate would kind of put that level of ceiling
For context, Jair just said that Jordan Love's the best quarterback in the league. So it's not like, well, he needs to
Jordan be Jordan Love is going to be good. I don't give a shit.
By the way, when you were on with Parkins and Spiegel, I just hate it when people of other fan bases tell us how good we've had it. You don't know shit about what we've been through and what we've experienced.
Did I tell him that?
Basically, yeah. But I don't know if Jordan Love is going to be good. I don't know. I'm feeling more queasy about it.
I almost had Spiegs convinced.
Yeah, he was going with you. So actually, you know what? That's a better way to flip the question to make it. I mean, so Stroud, I don't even know. I just thought it was an odd way to give a ceiling. I would much rather my teammate Noah Brown say of me, he's the best quarterback in the league.
If Jordan Love is Dak Prescott, the people will be very happy.
I do think that, but again, that's the difference between, yes, the Packers traded up for Love, but it's still a late first round pick, not the number two overall pick. I'd rather be shooting for like Mahomes, Burrow.
I mean, Dak I mean, he's a top 10 quarterback.
Dak is?
I think so. Mm. Who else am I missing from that list?
Well,
that I would have to throw in there.
Do you want him over Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I agree. I don't know that everyone would.
Tua, maybe Tua I could put in there.
So hard. We don't know. I mean,
what about Daniel Jones?
I do think Kenny Pickett's going to be – I think Kenny Pickett has the potential to be in there.
Daniel Jones or Dak?
I'll take Dak over Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Oh, Daniel Jones is done.
He's done?
Yeah.
You can't jump off. No.
What are you doing?
No.
What are you doing?
You are the poster child for Daniel. You're not jumping off now.
Okay, the Giants are done. They're going to be bad this year.
Okay.
Jared Goff or Dak Prescott?
I just sold a trading card for $60. Nice.
Sam Howell or Dak Prescott?
Well, I don't know. I think they feel in Washington the way I feel about Love.
They're just we got our guy. I am okay.
Oh, you will. Toby will be making an appearance soon on the pod. I got to talk Beal.
Beal or no Beal?
Toby and I are going to Carl's place on Thursday.
Mm.
Is he back in town?
He is. He went to the Brewer game the other night. Also went to Wrigley the other day.
Does he have family here, or what is his Midwest tie? He has family here.
Toby has family everywhere.
Seems that way. I have family in Indiana.
He's got family
That's
here.
That's where I have family. That's
and my in D.C. and in the Philippines and all over the fucking place.
Mm-hmm. If Jordan Love is Dak Prescott, great outcome. Mm-hmm or mm-mm. The put aside team performance. We're happy with Jordan Love becoming Dak. That's a great outcome for Jordan Love.
Publicly, I will say yes. Privately, yeah. I'll be like, I wish he was a little bit better than that. Which but publicly, I understand that I probably can't expect a third straight Hall of Fame quarterback.
Because I do like, and this is what I said on that show that I came up with on the spot, is that all these other teams microwave their quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
We put ours in the oven. We let it bake.
I will be intolerable if Jordan Love turns out to be great. I mean, Packers fans have to talk.
If he's a third Hall of Famer, we conquer like trash talk.
You can suck our you know what from the back,
especially
the
with Packers like the Bears
straight Hall of Fame.
This happy Father's Day Bears thing, Bears fans, and I said this yesterday, are so thirsty to like they always want to be fighting about a rivalry. Like, it's fucking June. Just relax.
We have to debate Willie Adames' performance. I don't have time.
We're too busy talking about, is Christian Yelich back? We're too busy talking about, should the Bucks trade one of these shitty guys for pick 28? I don't have time to do Bears-Packers dick measuring contest.
Seemed like you were supposed to go on that show and talk about the Brewers, and then it just quickly devolved into Packers Bears chatter.
I don't even know why I went on that show, but they were like, hey, will you come on? I never turned down that. By the way, this Sunday, since the Cubs play in London, I will be on the Score for the most of Sunday afternoon. That's among many other stations, yeah.
Who do they play against in London?
The Cardinals.
Sam Decker's team. Oh, the Cardinals.
Yeah. Sam Decker.
Is this I don't remember this being a
thing. They played Yankees and Red Sox have played in London before.
Way to stay relevant, baseball. Send some teams to Europe. Don't say anything about it.
Yeah, I get that money. Yeah. I
just didn't, you know. The Cubs sent their whole broadcast crew.
Wow.
Cardinals did not.
Hmm.
No Matt Pauly to London.
Oh, he got robbed then.
Yeah.
I almost went to cover the Packer game in London. I couldn't get the company to foot the bill. So
does Pauly travel like normally? Like regularly?
No.
No. So then he probably didn't miss out.
Right.
Right.
That's all I got. Jordan Love is gonna be Dak Prescott, and we will all publicly be happy and privately say, yeah.
I'm going to spend all day reading about this submarine thing. I can't stop thinking about it. Physically, I'm here with you guys. Spiritually, I'm down an internet wormhole reading every detail about this story.
Yeah, physically, I'm here with you. Spiritually, I'm fighting with some guy who shit on Milwaukee again.
Bart, Draymond Green will be with the Warriors next season? Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm?
I don't know.
Ooh.
Again, no inside.
Sources close to the family? No.
But I said this yesterday also, but when I say no, like, if I preface it's like, oh, I think he wants to play with LeBron.
But the Lakers would have, I mean, that's financially very, very difficult.
The Warriors.
Not impossible, but difficult.
I think the Warriors. Because you got to pay all these guys max money. I think the Warriors should make a decision between Klay and Draymond.
If they let Klay go, what's stopping Draymond from saying, "Oh, you don't want to take care of us? You want to take care of my guy? I'm out too."
Well, also they'd have to trade Klay. So
I was listening to Cowherd yesterday with his buddy Rick Bucher, and they basically said that they're listening through the door of Mike Dunleavy's office about how Klay's being discussed. Like this, I think this matters to Steph. I think this matters to the rest of the team.
Hmm. Well, Steph wants the three guys back.
I'm sure he does.
Well, sure, yeah.
But Spotify executive Bill Simmons has bandied about an idea that Draymond, LeBron, and Luka all join up in Dallas.
It feels like the Warriors. It feels like you know when like Scrubs ended, but then it came back.
Hmm. Yeah, not
it
as good.
It feels like the Warriors show is over. And anyone hanging around, like Seinfeld took the 100, he passed the $100 million. He could have had another season that, you know, wouldn't have been as good, he says. It feels like the Warriors, the show is over, but now we're just going to keep it together to the peak of this. That dynasty has ended, I feel.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're just going to stay together for the kids.
I feel like that is a very possible outcome, and they're all saying the right things. I think the Warriors should move on from Draymond and keep Poole and Kuminga.
Wow.
And maybe try to find, I don't know. Why don't they go digging for like a Karl Anthony Towns?
Well, he changed the game.
He did.
Yeah. The Pelicans are going to trade Zion this week.
Mm-hmm. Or like, get you know what? Get Porzingis over there somehow.
Kristaps. He's got to opt in first. You guys think Zion's going to get dealt?
I was going to say, do we actually think Zion's getting traded?
Oh, yeah. Get Zion to the Dubs.
He'd be miraculous. He'd be really good for those 28 games each year.
They don't give a shit. That's how much they all played this year.
Paul, I think that's the thing a lot of people don't realize about Zion is when he's played, he's been one of the best players in basketball.
He's a top 12 NBA player for the 28 games he plays.
And historical scoring on historical efficiency. The second he's stepped on the floor from day one.
Now, granted, he's the guy running the ship. So, if he was like a off-ball secondary Warriors player. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that would be. Maybe it'd be even better. But
you'd have to slim down a little bit because they're going to ask him to move. It's not a stagnant thing that they have there. They're about motion and fluidity, and you got to be able to run a lot. I don't know if that screams Zion.
Yeah. I mean, this reported deal, Zion to Charlotte for the number 2 overall pick. Who says no? By the way, Matt, I did not make this up. This is not my rumor.
Charlotte, maybe? Isn't that wild?
You don't. So if you could team up LaMelo with Zion, you wouldn't do it?
Dude, this Zion stuff is
also bizarre. You can select Brandon Miller. Like, I don't know.
Well, I guess they both have different forms of baggage. I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to worry about things with NBA players you never used to have to worry about. We're like, what if Ben Simmons, social media, playing with gut? This is another thing. The Ja Morant thing being played off as a mental health thing bothers me. And I'm very sympathetic to mental health. Like, we need to be able to tell each other, like, hey, I'm having a type of day. There's so much going on. I need to cancel these plans. I need to go home. 100%. With Ja, it's like, dude, I think you just like playing with guns. Like, I don't know that it's a stress coping thing. I just think you like playing with guns. And I don't know. You think that Adam Silver is a little bit of a, he's a pushover, Bart. Adam Silver might be getting taken for a little ride by this whole Ja Morant thing. I don't know. Not saying that they should have suspended him a year. I don't want anyone to, I don't know.
He didn't break 25 is the perfect number, honestly.
Well, we said last week, though, I asked you guys right at the end, I said, you know, more than 35 games for Ja, and you both said, it'll be more than 35.
Well, I thought so. I thought it could be half a season, but 25 is like both sides are going to be like, well, it could have been more or it should have been less. 25 is right in the middle.
Well, no, you know who does not agree with the 25 is the Players Association.
Well, they do, but they have to fucking defend every guy like it's – they do. They're being idiots.
They should – yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right, dogs.
Excellent podcast.
Thank you for your
questions,
time.
Ball, as always.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.